Encourage you to take out your Bibles and follow along as we search the scriptures together. Obviously, I'm not Terry. I know he is out. If you're visiting with us, you're an honored guest, and we're glad to have you here. And we want you to follow along as well. I want to make sure that what is taught here this morning is in accordance with God's law. And I would encourage you to let me know if it's not. I'd rather know now than find out later. About 3 years ago, at a physical exam, a doctor asked the patient how often he exercised. After providing what the patient thought was an excellent answer, the doctor asked the patient if he could spend just a little more time exercising. Somewhat offended, that patient asked the doctor, "What does just a little bit more exercising mean?" And after being educated what the patient needed to do by the doctor, that patient quickly realized through a small adjustment in his personal schedule that he was afforded the time that he needed to get into better physical shape. I'm not technically inclined. Well, if I got to use that one, we'll use that one. All right. Physical exercise is very prevalent in today's economy. You can join various fitness centers to work out, to get fit and trim, as the world puts it. And there's a number of places, as you can see here, like Orange Fitness Theory, Move Fitness, Planet Fitness, Brickhouse Gym, Anytime Fitness, Carolina Fitness, Nine Round. There's even various 24/7 health and fitness centers that you can join. And all these are actually local establishments within the Columbia area. And they offer some sort of what we want to talk about this morning, resistance training. Resistance training has always been something that has intrigued me since I was a child. I finally remember diligently heading to the basement in my parents' home in Atlanta as an ape-like teenager with next to zero body fat and attempting to heave and hoe a weight in such a manner that it would reward me with a Lou Ferrigno-like figure. It didn't happen, did it? From a physical perspective, resistance training is defined as the amount of weight that is used in an exercise. But neither you or I came here this morning to talk about physical resistance training, did we? Be turning in your Bibles to James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. What we want to talk about is not the physical resistance training. There's going to be an avenue and an aspect of that. But really what I want to do is look at the spiritual resistance training that we need to have in our lives. Let's read James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. It says, James there writing says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." We want to discuss spiritual resistance training. And there's three areas that we want to look at. Pre-resistance, the actual resistance training itself, how do we do that properly, and then post-resistance training. What can we learn from the scriptures of how to be better prepared as Christians as we're walking in our lives in such a way to maintain a straight and narrow pathway? Resistance training provides strength, Anybody that goes to the gym knows that. You can use bands, you can use free weights, machines, but how do we do that spiritually? What were we provided? Let's dig in a little deeper and take a look. So pre-resistance training. And what we see is if, from a physical perspective, there's stretching involved. Any good resistance training coach will have you stretch before training, right? Why do we do that? We stretch so that we don't hurt ourselves, right? If we injure ourselves during a workout, you may not be able to continue, right? But again, what is that spiritually? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Peter writes, "Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Spiritually, as Christians, at any point in our life, we should desire always God's word. That's the point of where we begin. You have to desire the pure milk of the word. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on, but right now, as we begin, you have to desire it. This ensures that we increase through growth to salvation. If we lose our desire for the Scriptures, we greatly increase the risk of what I'll call a spiritual injury, apostasy, a falling away. So you want to stretch. You want to desire that pure milk, God's Word. Another thing that, from a physical perspective, the world will tell you to do is to prepare the body in warm-ups. And that's to gradually warm up our bodies and our muscles so that you can perform under stress and tension throughout a training regimen. You know what that reminds me of spiritually? Is if we go over to Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts chapter 17. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica." So the Bereans were more fair-minded. How so? "In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." There was diligence, steady about what was being presented. It wasn't just a taking it for face value. Oh, well, what Nathaniel says is all right and all correct. Well, not necessarily. Let us open our Bibles and follow along and search the Scriptures to make sure that that's the case. If we don't do that, how can you be ready for training later on? As Christians, we should steady with a desire to know the truth. And it is a daily thing. It's on an ongoing basis. But it's part of our spiritual warm-up, if you will. We will not be pulled away by various doctrines of men if we portray that same mindset that the Bereans had and diligently search and examine the Scriptures. Well, and then there's also an aspect now of actual resistance training. And there's just three points here. The world tells you form. So physically, form is the use of the proper methods or biomechanics during an exercise. But what does that mean spiritually? That reminds me in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. First Thessalonians 5. Let's jump back to verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, it says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And then look what he says in verse 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober Then he says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We have to put on our armor. That's part of our training. If you train without it, you're going to get injured. And we as Christians, from a spiritual perspective, we're not of the night, we're of the day. The sphere of righteousness and salvation. Therefore, our spiritual form, from a resistance training perspective, should include the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. And those two things, breastplate of faith and the helmet, those protect vital organs if you think about wearing those as a body. I don't know if you've ever been punched in the chest so hard that you lose your breath, or somebody hits you in the heart, it can cause you to skip a beat. You get an arrow through you, it'll kill you. In your head. A very vital organ, does a lot of thinking. And without it, we can't perform. But we have to put on our armor. We have to use the proper form from a spiritual perspective. And for time's sake, we won't go over there, but you can go to Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 16, where it talks about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with or prepared with the gospel of peace, our shield of faith, the helmet of salvation again, and God's word is the sword of the Spirit. We have to take up the whole armor of God. I just wanted to look at two here, using proper form. Well, another item in resistance training is repetition. So from a physical perspective, repetitions are the single execution of an exercise. And sometimes they say, hey, the more you do, the stronger you can get. Well, that's true. You can overtrain, but that's not what we're talking about. So if we go back to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. What this reminds me of here is Acts chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 40. It says, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They continued daily. Over to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Says again, these begin in verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. I think we read this earlier. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. It was daily. It was a continuing in it. Anybody knows that if you go to the gym to exercise or to do anything in life, if you're not consistent about it, if you don't do it repetitively, is my point, what do you do? If I don't do thermodynamics on a repetitive basis, if I don't do calculus on a permanent basis and a continuing ongoing basis, I'm not going to remember how to do it. How much more on the spiritual side of things? We have to continue daily. We have to be repetitive about what we do. And then our last point here with spiritual resistance training is a spotter. A spotter, from a physical perspective, as you see there, is a person who provides assistance while an exercise is being performed. I don't know if you've you've ever watched some of those videos on YouTube about gym fails, but they can be pretty scary, but rather hilarious at the same time. But again, the spiritual aspect is, if we make a mistake spiritually, we can lose our soul. It's funny when somebody drops 500 pounds on them and they live and it's okay, but that's from the physical perspective. From a spiritual perspective, if we are training and we do something wrong, we could fall away, never to turn back. That's a scary thought, isn't it? So there's some examples. If you go over to Philippians 1 and verse 1, Philippians 1 and verse 1, we see here, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. I think my microphone might have went out. So Paul had Timothy with him. And then over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, it was Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. So it was three of them, Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus. And then 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, that's another reference to Timothy. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, we see Sosthenes. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Paul often took someone with him. You might call that a spotter from a physical perspective. But there were times when he went it alone. But it may be good to have a spotter with you. When we're preaching to others, Paul often took others with him on his journey. And then, as we mentioned, we talk about pre-training, resistance training, and then post-resistance training. So the world says, from a physical perspective, you've got to have adequate rest. You've got to allow your body to recuperate. I've heard a doctor tell me that a lot, too. You need to recuperate, Mr. Gibson. And recuperation or adequate rest is the time allowed for our bodies and muscles to repair themselves. And, you know, that reminds me from a spiritual perspective a lot, like prayer. Go over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, let's begin in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul, writing to the brethren at Colossae, says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Spiritually, our communication with God is key to our sustainment. You can go back and look at Matthew chapter 6, John 17. It was important for Jesus. Time will not permit us to go through all of those this morning. But communication with God through prayer should be our rest. And it needs to be important to us as well. We have opportunity to pray in public, at worship assemblies, and also in our private lives. Our prayers to God are an opportunity to include thankfulness, petitions for ourselves, petitions for others, requests for needs, and the like. Our communication with God should refresh us, and it should provide comfort that He hears our petitions, our thanksgivings, and our requests. And we need to pray for the furtherance of the gospel, even as we just read. Then there's one last point. Some people say, well, this is like the most important one. I don't know. They're all important. But it's proper nutrition. You know, and I put up there proteins, fats, carbohydrates, you know, and any good doctor will tell you you need to eat a good balance of those. Nutrition is what is consumed by one's body so that we're healthy. And to sustain good health, our bodies need a regular intake of the proper quantities of those three things, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. That number is going to be different for every one of us in here. But what about the spiritual nutrition? That's what that reminds me of. Turn over, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Let's start in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. The writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." Now, let me stop there. We talked about milk before. Milk is what we start out on. We don't continue on it. Ask any bodybuilder. That's not the only thing to drink or eat. And just for us spiritually as well, that can't be the only thing that we focus on. Now, like I mentioned earlier, we do have to have a desire for God's Word. But it just can't be a desire. It has to grow. And it has to continue. Continues on in verse 13. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." In verse 14. "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." That is, those who by reason of use, utilization, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Just like physical nutrition, we need proper spiritual nutrition. Without the proper spiritual nutrition, we become tired and weary and open prey for Satan to easily attack. What happens if you don't eat right? You don't feel right, you get sick. Or there's that possibility. Same thing can happen to us spiritually if we're not careful. As mature Christians, we should use and exercise our spiritual senses through habit, practice, diligent effort to improve our ability to distinguish the difference between, one, what is pleasing to God, and on the other end, what is provoking to God. We should be able to know what those differences are and learn those and continue to grow. A spiritual mature adult will be able to make the fine distinctions necessary to avoid taking into one's heart and mind any false doctrines and any erroneous notions that would sicken and destroy the soul. We should be able to do that. But we have to practice our spiritual training. So in conclusion, from a spiritual resistance training perspective, we have to do what we see here. We have to desire the milk, God's Word. We have to diligently study the Scriptures. We have to put on and keep on one's armor. We have to continue daily, despite the obstacles that we're going to encounter on a daily basis. There may be opportunities and times we need to take someone with us and have a spotter. We need to pray often. And of course, as we just talked about, we need to continue to eat proper spiritual nutrition. It's found only in God's Word. So if we go back to James chapter 4 and read it one more time. It says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." If we don't train ourselves spiritually, we won't be humble enough to submit ourselves to God and to resist Satan so that he will even flee before us. Without spiritual resistance training, we become weak and susceptible to sin. We lose sight of God and we won't draw near to Him. We forget to be humble and instead we become self-reliant on our pride. So the question becomes, how is your spiritual training coming along? Are you building the proper spiritual muscles that you need so that you can stand up against Satan? Or are you unable to even bear the sword, the Word of God, or the shield of faith? Are you where you need to be? Only you can answer that. Only I can answer that for myself. But it takes us looking in our own lives and seeing, are we where we need to be? Should we be doing one of these things differently? If there is a gap and you need to make your life right, we encourage you to come forward this morning and do so as we stand and sing.